You know, in the 60s, we have Timothy Leary, the drugs, the acid, you know, find yourself, you know, the rock and roll music. This is the beast. This is the beast taking over. And this is the one, this is why we need to have victory over the beast, because we're tracking this thing through time. I'm telling you, this thing's been on the scene since World War II, when these ideologies, corporate fascism, Marxist Soviet socialism, and capitalism are all combined today in this beast system that is in the end game. As we're on the final sweep of controlling the entire world with this ideology, and the you know, we take a look at what the influence that rock and roll music has had on the minds of the young people, and you know, we just see the progression. I have in my notes here after the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. Yeah, I'm part of this. I loved it. You know, I was you know, I followed it all the you know, obscure British bands. The Traffic was my favorite. The Low Spark of High-Heeled Boys. I mean, that's talking about a satanic ritual, turning their soul over to Satan. That's what that song is about. And how many more? You know, as a progression. You know, we're not even out of the 60s yet. I'm running through the time frame here, what's taking place. In the 60s, we have CIA asset Gloria Steinem, you know, coming up with the feminist movement. You know, it had everything to do with the corruption of society, you know, the sexual revolution, free love. You know, we're getting into the late 60s now. What else here? The Six-Day War. Huge, you know, huge, a huge aspect of this beast. And at this time, we get the term anti-Semitism. That's when, after the Six-Day War, when Cyrus Schofield added anti-Semitism to his footnotes of his study Bible. That's a good trick. I haven't figured out how he did that. He died, you know, at the turn of the century. You know, this is all deception, folks. It's all lies, propaganda. Coming out of the dragon's mouth, the flood. The flood out of the dragon's mouth. This is what this is. This is all deception and lies. You got to understand, you know, we refer to the Freemasons. And, you know, I'm just going to clarify what we're talking about here. I mean, it's the name for the... you understand that the Freemasons worship Lucifer. This is where all the New Age thought comes from, the ascended consciousness. It's all the same thought. It's all the same ideology. You know, Hitler had Madame Blavatsky's book on his nightstand. You know, this is all Freemasonic thought. But then the reason I'm saying this now is we have to ask ourselves, well, what in the world is every prime minister of Israel, from David Ben-Gurion, you know, Golda Meir, Benjamin Netanyahu, these guys are all Freemasons. What's that all about? You know, I would bet, and this is just me, I can't prove it, but I would bet that Benjamin Netanyahu is a Knights of Malta. His mentor was Benjamin Netanyahu's mentor, Henry Kissinger. He's Knights of Malta. These guys are all up to the same thing. They're all working the same plan. What is going on? Well, I'll tell you what's really going on. You know, it's the obsession of every Freemason is to rebuild Solomon's temple and Solomon's kingdom, because that's exactly what the beast system is. It's an attempt to rebuild Solomon's utopian society without God. See, this is what they're up to. This is what this is all about. And we're in the end. You know, we're in the last run. And, you know, the mentality is, he who controls the Middle East controls the world. And we're, you know, it's just been a chess game, you know, and we're the ones, we're the pawns in the chess game. And now we're at the, you know, every morning we wake up, we're going to wonder if we're going to find out if the nukes are flying yet, you know. But then again, you know, we got to realize this is all deception. Because ultimately, this is me, what I believe is happening is that the Freemasons are attempting to counterfeit Bible prophecy in the flesh. And this is why a doctrine like the temple and the Antichrist is so corrupt, when we have clear teaching in Scripture that we are lively stones, part of the temple. And Antichrist is a spirit of lies that infiltrates the church. You know, these doctrines have been so twisted. This is how it all works. You know, we have the Jesus movement, Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith, you know, feeding this dispensational thought, you know, into the minds of the Christians. As I say, this work that Cyrus Scofield did at the turn of the century really only came into its own, you know, now, you know, at this time, you know, our generation. And then it gets, you know, amplified by these yo-yos like Hal Lindsey, you know, with his books, The Late Great Planet Earth, all lies. Tim LaHaye was he's a 33 degree Freemason, putting out these movies, Left Behind. You know, I encourage you to go back into the Watchmen Weekly shows, the End Times 101 series. We did a show on the Rapture. You know, and Tim LaHaye's telling you that you don't want to be left behind. Well, I'm going to tell you, you do want to be left behind. One taken, one left. Taken means taken to Babylon, taken into Babylonian captivity. You know, something about the character of God we have to understand is that God doesn't flip-flop. You know, and when we understand Scripture, we have to take a look at context. And we see the context of one taken, one left, and the flood. And we know the flood, that the Lord promised to never destroy the earth with a flood again. And we see reference to being taken away by the flood, just like in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And, you know, we have to understand that the Lord follows a train of thought here, you know. So to take the doctrine and to all of a sudden make taken as being something good, I mean, this is exactly what happened in Matthew 13. You know, we've got the patterns of apostasy, and all of a sudden, you know, this is where this doctrine came from, was Wesley. John Wesley decided to say that the mustard seed is a good thing, and that leaven is a good thing. And, you know, who's he? You know, he's somebody that doesn't know his scripture is who that is. You know, this is a false doctrine that came in. You know, the doctrine of the mustard seed, the false doctrine of the false teaching of the mustard seed in Matthew 13 is an example of what it's teaching. You know, it's teaching that a little lie turns into the tree of Babylon. That's what it's teaching, where the fowls nest in the branches. Okay, and the leaven. Show me in Scripture where leaven is good. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, you know, the Jews would take a week before the feast and purge the house of leaven, sweeping every nook and cranny in the whole house to make sure there was no leaven. And then where do we decide to teach that leaven is the gospel message spreading through the world? I'm sorry, you know. I mean, the foundation of lies and false doctrine that is the great falling away is, you know, it's literally mind-boggling. It's hard to even get your arms around it. And I don't want to spend too much time on the rapture, but it's just such a big problem because the implications, you know, the implications that the book of Revelation is only written to the church in the first few chapters, and then the church is gone. I mean, are you kidding me? Do you have any idea the implications of that? Well, in one respect, that doctrine that the church is, I mean, that the book of Revelation is written for the Jews, well, it is correct. But people don't realize that the church is the Jews, the chosen people, the covenant people, the apostate covenant people that need the judgment from the book of Revelation to bring them back. The book of Revelation is the exodus at the end of the age of the Christians coming out of Egypt, Sodom, Babylon, on their way to the promised land. It's the same thing. All these things happen, for example. And what you have in the book of Revelation is the same thing you had in the wilderness, you know, at the time of the Exodus. You know, you've got the serpents and scorpions, the false teachers, you know, off the narrow path, ready to bite and sting, you know, in the wilderness. And this is what happens is, it gets them. You know, the false doctrine gets two parts. Because Zechariah teaches two parts are cut off. One part is brought through the fire and refined. This is what the book of Revelation is. It's the tribulation. The refining fires of the tribulation for the one part that makes it. Two parts are cut off and die. Two parts don't make it. Hot, cold, lukewarm. Well, two parts go to hell. This is the way it works, folks. It's about the refining of the process in the wilderness of the modern-day Christian. Babylon is divided into three parts, you know. But the notion that, you know, you're taken away by the flood, that taken is a good thing. You're taken away by the flood of deception out of the dragon's mouth. The flood of lies out of the dragon's mouth. That's what taken means. It's absolutely clear in that study on the rapture that we did. You don't want to be taken. You want to be left. Folks, if you think you're going to be taken, if you have your hope in being taken in a rapture, you've already been taken. You've been taken in the Babylonian captivity, spiritual Babylon. We understand that the natural man understands not the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. You've been taken into spiritual captivity. One taken, one left. For as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. You've been caught in a snare. If you're waiting to be taken, you've already been taken. You've been taken by the snare. Luke chapter 21. It's in Jeremiah, Isaiah, the snare. It's a strong delusion. It comes upon them who love not the truth. And for this cause, God sent strong delusion, that they would believe a lie and be damned. Christian 101, folks. So now we're progressing into the 70s. We get, and you know, we talk about the magnitude of this agenda. You know, how few people realize what really went on, you know, through this period of time. You know, this is a time when, well, you know, Bush Sr., you know, was the CIA director, you know, during the time of Kennedy. You know, he was on the streets. He was absolutely involved in Kennedy's assassination. And, you know, he was the ambassador to China, you know, around this era when Kissinger is over there. You know, there's a Secretary of State making all these deals to industrialize the United States. You know, this is where they made all the deals, where they made China the manufacturing center of the New World Order. You know, we've got to realize that, you know, all these plans for, you know, to ship our jobs offshore, you know, we're all laid in the 70s. You know, we got Alan Greenspan, the head of the Federal Reserve, one of the top, you know, Freemason, you know, the guy's pure evil, walking evil. Henry Kissinger, you know, wanted for war crimes in countries all over the world. You know, Bush Sr., you know, a heavy hitter, elite, ruling class. And then this is the time that, you know, Nixon takes us off the gold standard. You know, that was really the final turn, you know, heading towards the home stretch for setting the stage for what we have today. Basically, what I believe is that what they implemented during this period of time to collapse the economy happened too soon. They weren't ready for it in 2008. And that's where the QE1, QE2, now we're on QE3, this quantitative easing that they're, you know, propping this economy up with paper. And I believe that it happened too quick. They weren't ready for it yet. And that's what I see, okay? And you got to realize that Kissinger's over there making all the deals with the Arabs through this time, you know, to set up their infrastructure for the oil, you know, as long as they traded in the dollar. This is all beast, folks. This is beast. One world. All fully coming into play by now. I mean, we're in the 70s. You know, and this is when all this stuff was laid down. I'll jump ahead real quick just to, you know, say where this ended up. It ended up during Clinton. Okay? When Clinton took us, when he abolished the Glass-Steagall Act, okay? That was it. That was the final nail in the coffin. The Glass-Steagall Act was put in place after the first Great Depression to keep banks from gambling with our money, okay? And this is what's happened now. You know, Wall Street has become Vegas. And, you know, they gamble with our money. When they lose, taxpayers bail them out, okay, folks? This is what we're up against. This is where we are. This is what's happened. And it's all been done by design. Because these Freemasons, their motto is, order out of chaos, and they have to create this chaos to get their order, to get their one new world order, which is the beast kingdom. And I'm here to tell you, this thing is we're in the end game. And, you know, I'm just, you know, really sorry to be the one to break this to you, you know. We've got to know the truth, folks. This is the only hope we have to deal with what's ahead. We can't face this time ahead living in denial, because we'll be destroyed, okay? It just doesn't work. So we've got to get a hold of this stuff. I'm just going to get back on, the timeline now. You know, the other things that were at work here during this period of the time in the early 70s. All in the Family. Archie Bunker. You know, Archie Bunker actually was had a lot of things right, but they made him out to be an idiot, a fool. You know, for his family values, believe it or not. And they made him out who they made Archie Bunker into. Didn't need a welfare state. Everybody pulled his weight. G.R.O. LaSalle ran great. Those were the days. Well, you know, they made people with those values into idiots, like they did Archie Bunker. And instead, they glorified, you know, Gloria and Meathead, you know, full-blown communists. And, you know, this is all part of it, folks. Part of the beast. January 22nd, 1973, Roe versus Wade. Since that time, we've killed 55 million babies. You realize that over and over in Scripture, 40 years is God's time of testing. The mind control, the propaganda, all coming across this TV. Think about it. Where are we at now? We've got the Vietnam War, Korea, world dominance. You know, we're already occupying Japan, Germany. You know, the European Union came out of the beast system. It all came out at the same time. The Bretton Woods Agreement was when the United States, when the dollar became the world currency. All made this possible. It made this beast empire possible. And now here we are. The derivative bubble is $1.5 quadrillion floating around in space, just being held up by a printing press. And, you know, how long are they going to be able to keep this thing going? Who knows? But, you know, I'm absolutely of the mind that we are in the final days of God's grace, His mercy. Anyone that doesn't understand the perilous times that we are in and how we are just hanging in the balance, you know, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, we see metaphor here. Wind. Wind is tribulation. The winds of tribulation. The doctrine is the tribulation. When they start pulling these entitlements, the welfare, the food stamps away from the people, what do you think is going to happen? There's going to be a lot of people looking for the Lord. That's what's going to happen. Because everything they've put their hope and trust in is going to be taken from them. But this is why it's time for Christians to be prepared, to be grounded in the Word and the truth, and to know for themselves first, and then to be available to minister to these people that are going to be seeking answers, because everything that they put their hope in has been taken from them. So think about the 70s now. We've got drugs completely taken over the minds of the kids. You know, Cheech and Chong, ha ha. Welcome to the beast, one world kingdom. You know, we have the new TV series Soap, you know, where Billy Crystal is the first openly gay. Then we get MTV, you know, openly becoming satanic now in the 80s. Music is getting pure evil, openly. Beavis and Butthead, just absolute despicable characters controlling the minds of the young people. When we talk about Tim LaHaye, we have to understand what's behind the scenes of characters like this. 1982, Tim LaHaye founded an organization called the Council for National Policy. My friends, this is the single most secretive, sinister, organization on the scene. It's Christian. It's predominantly Freemasonic. Knights of Malta. The Knights of Malta protects the Pope. They are the lay counterpart of the Jesuits. As I say, I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm just trying to cause you to question. Understand the Council for National Policy has dominant religious leaders as members, heavily infiltrated with Freemasonry. Probably the most secretive organization on the scene. We have to understand the people that are involved with this organization. You know, the problem is this Council on National Policy. I'm telling you, it is the most secretive organization out there. I mean, you can get current membership lists like of the Council for Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission. You know, this stuff is supposedly the secret government, but you know, you can find out all kinds of information. This Council on National Policy, man, this thing is hush hush. You know, I found a 2001 membership list. You know, and it's just a who's who in the Christian right. You know, you got Dobson, Bill Bright. I'm not sure when he died. He was a part of this. Lauren Cunningham, Prince, the guy that runs Blackwater, Joseph Farah. Now, this is a trusted voice in alternative Christian media. You know, this guy's part of this Council of National Policy. Dave Zanotti, the roundtable guy. Gary Bauer, and this is the guy that pretty much calls the shots in Kufi, Christians United for Israel. You know, and Joseph Kors. You know, the Hunt brothers are in this thing. I think the Hunt brothers really helped finance it. It's all bad. It's all bad, folks. But my observation is probably one of the most influential members of all is Stuart Epperson. Stuart Epperson controls Salem Communication. Salem Communication all but controls Christian media and is the single, I think, one of the single biggest forces that has undermined the true gospel. Basically, what I see are these Salem radio stations with their programming are basically, you know, the final leg of the great falling away. As, you know, we're seeing how close can Christianity become to the world. You know, where's the plumb line? Where's the plumb line in Amos? You know, where's sanctification, folks? Come out and be ye separate. Huh? Well, you know, this is all part of the beast, the woman riding the beast. How much can the world look like the church? Or vice versa? Because that's it. They're indistinguishable today. And it's been through these forces like Salem Communication that have accomplished this. And there's one big, big bomb that we have to consider out of this Council on National Policy and Salem, is it's all Christian Zionist. It is all focused on supporting the physical race of Jewish people and the physical nation state of Israel. And today, when we see somewhere in the wings this thing called the Christian Right, which is probably one of the biggest manifestation of Antichrist that there is on the scene, all these confessed Christian leaders come out of the Council for National Policy. And it's all pure Antichrist doctrine, folks. These men are not Christians. These men are apostate. These men are serpents and scorpions, deceiving and being deceived. You know, there's a principle in Scripture called mingling, right? Mingling with the world. You know, this is what Lot did. And, you know, this is what the church is doing today. Show me where in Scripture where Jesus taught that we're to mingle with Rome. He never did. I'm sorry. This is just the way it is. This is sound doctrine, folks. And as we see this this harlot system, you know, with the lies being told over and over and over and over, there's still lies. There's still lies. And we understand now what this Christian right forming. We got these characters like Newt Gingrich and the Santorum. I mean, this Santorum is the Christian squeaky clean poster child. This guy's no good. This guy's corrupt. This guy's Knights of Malta, tied completely to Freemasonry. Okay, the Freemasons are where all the Antichrist doctrines come from. And anti isn't against, it's instead of. It looks just like the real thing, folks. Satan's the counterfeit. Satan is the counterfeiter. Can't forget this. Jesus said, the whole world lies in wickedness. He says, to love the world is an enemy of God. 1985, we adopt the Soviet education system, outcome-based groupthink, the hive mind, collectivism, absolute attack on critical thinking. 1985, under Reagan, we interviewed Charlotte Isserbitt, who was the author of The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. I encourage everyone to listen to that show. It was a couple, just only 6 weeks ago on WatchmanWeekly.com. The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, the whole series. It was a five-part series of the deliberate dumbing down of society, the infiltration of the education system, but most importantly is the resulting infiltration of the church. Because today we have outcome-based churches. 1985 was the time that the Soviet education system was adopted. 5 years later, the doctrines entered the church. How? Through the seeker-friendly movement. When the sovereignty of God is now replaced by opinion of a board of directors deciding what the truth is. And how did this happen? Well, 1988 was the year that the King James Version Bible was replaced by the NIV in sales. Huge, because this is what God, this is, it's all part of Satan's plan, the diminishment of the Word. The work that in the NIV Bible was done in the 1800s by Westcott and Hort, who are, you know, just despicable people in themselves, occultists. You know, using the Alexandrian text to, you know, bring forth these dynamic equivalent translation Bibles, of which the NIV is only the prime example. But they've taken away from the written word, the line upon line, precept upon precept word that the Lord brought forth. And not only is it all but impossible to study anything but a King James Bible to any depth of understanding, to understand these metaphors, these similitudes. Unsealed word that we talked about early in the show. All but impossible to get this truth out of a modern translation. And that's because Satan knew what he was doing. Subtle. Subtle deception. This is the problem. Two things. One, people have no idea the depth of deception that Satan is capable of. Nor do they realize that God allows every bit of it. Because deception is God's mechanism to separate out his flock. This is how he's chosen to do it. Because as I said, his sheep hear his voice. His flock is not deceived. And so with these modern translations, what have they done? Well, at the same time, these things are becoming the dominant Bible of choice. We've got these small groups coming out of these seeker-friendly churches with eight different Bible translations at one time, just causing confusion, more confusion, the same confusion that the serpent caused in Eve in the garden, caused her to question, surely you will not die. This is exactly what Satan's accomplishing by confusing his word, God's word, with these corrupt translations, and it's all part of Satan's plan of division, deception. And I encourage anyone that wants to research this for themselves, which is all I'm asking you to do today, to question. Don't accept anything I'm saying. Look at what Gail Ripplinger has to say. Dean Gocher. We interviewed Dean Gocher a couple weeks ago. The show was called Modern Management, because Dean is an expert on this seeker-friendly movement, what's taken place here, as the churches have become corporations. The churches have become businesses. They're being managed with corporate techniques. The Delphi system, the system of dialoguing to consensus, the Hegelian dialectic. Understand, this comes out of Marx, out of the Soviet Red Horse bear. See, this is what's happening. All these ideologies have combined now into this one world beast system, the harlot religious system riding the back of the beast. Because what we have today is the beast that was not, and shall ascend. That's talking about the religious system that killed Jesus Christ. It was destroyed in 70 AD. Well, it was destroyed spiritually at the cross. It was destroyed physically in 70 AD. And now has ascended, because this same religious blind system has risen back to power. All things happen for examples. This is what's happening. We've got the exact replay of the religious system at the time of Christ controlling the scene today. And this is how it's happened. And don't forget now, we're talking about judgment. We're talking about the trumpet judgments. We're talking about the seals. This is because people in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap on themselves teachers, having itching ears. So we have to understand that this judgment, that these false doctrines are judgment. It's those with itching ears are getting exactly what they wanted. This is the way it works. Irony. The irony is just amazing that the Lord uses as he is busily about the business of separating out his flock. And now here we are at the end of the 80s, you know, and we've got the foundation coming from guys like Norman Vincent Peale, okay, who've introduced these social doctrines. Okay, and basically, of course, 33 degree Freemason, passing the baton to 33 degree Freemason Robert Schuller with his self-esteem doctrines, the Crystal Cathedral. We understand the communist agenda. Point number 27 was infiltrate the churches, replace revealed religion with social religion. Okay, what do you think happened? This is what's happened. Robert Schuller discipled Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. Bill Hybels and the Willow Creek doctrines. You know, I remember 20 years ago when these things came in, and then we've got the purpose-driven life. You know, coming from Rick Warren again. This is all social, replacing the sovereignty of God with the group. The opinion of the group. The opinion of the group is the authority. And as we find ourselves, moving out of the 80s into the 90s, you know, the 80s were, just more corruption. The VCR bringing this filth, you know, into our homes with no restrictions, you know, and these movies that come out of Hollywood, the comedy, you know, I'm talking to myself here. You know, I love this stuff. You know, these, Saturday Night Live stars that went on to be Hollywood actors, you know, with these hilarious movies. But the underlying message and all this stuff was just pure evil. You know, sex, pregnancy, just... You know, I mean, you know what was going on with this stuff, all desensitizing us to this, demoralized behavior, you know, where, you know, behaving like this is just commonplace now, you know, through the 80s, you know, I don't have to go any further than that. And I think about, I think of my memories in the secret friendly church when I'm just sitting there going, what's up? Something's wrong here. I guess this is what God's doing, but something's wrong. And I just remember the audio visual effects, all the high dollar electronic equipment that came in, and the pastors with the clicker in their hand, always had to have some kind of drama, you know, a movie clip. You know, I can remember the last movie clip I can remember while I was still part of the church. Was a scene from a Jodie Foster movie. They're in a bar, you know, and it's a movie about Jodie Foster hearing voices from outer space. And it's like, at the time when I'm just starting to realize how the deception is, and we've got a pastor here teaching his flock about E.T. and
so we're using you know, Close Encounters as a sermon. And you know, you know, I got to say, you know, I learned so much from this series we just did on the education system and how it's you know, infiltrated the church with these outcome-based education methods. But you know, I realized when Charlotte Isabert was on, you know, it's Skinner and it's Pavlovian conditioning, is what this is. It's Pavlovian response. Okay, that's what this stuff is. You know, that's what this stuff is. It's all feeding the flesh. Flesh stimulation. Okay? You know, this is not living in the spirit. You know, we talk about the Bibles. You know, the King James Bible says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus and those who live according to the spirit and not to the flesh. Well, the part about the spirit and the flesh, well, the NIV cuts that out, okay? I mean, this is what's going on. This is all part of it. And then I just think about, you know, after the service, you know, it's little groups of people standing around talking about their idols, really. You know, no one's talking about the Lord. No one's excited about the Lord anymore. No one's sharing, you know, what the Lord's revealing to them. We're getting into the 90s now when this seeker stuff's really kicking in, mid-90s. And then, you know, what do we have infiltrating our minds on the media? You know, the Seinfeld, just as an example. You know, here's this series, whatever, 10, 11 years that it went. I loved it. You know, I'll admit it. I'm ashamed of that. I'm utterly ashamed of... I refuse to bring up a Seinfeld joke to this day. You know, a joke about Kramer or, you know, these people were just disgusting, you know, when you really think about it. And, you know, they made for great audio clips for the sermon. I can remember seeing a Seinfeld scene as a, you know, to fit into a sermon to make Jesus more relevant for us today. And then don't forget what else we had come along here. You know, while I'm on the subject of media and mind control and the children, and you know, Harry Potter. You know, he's in here somewhere too. This whole thing, you know, high level witchcraft. Okay, and you know, controlling the minds of these kids. They know more Harry Potter magic and spells than they do scripture. You know, by far. And then what do? They desensitize us. With humor, you know, this is the classic tactic. You know, everything's surrounded by humor, and you know, I'm a comedian. I mean, I grew up the class clown, you know. So, and you know, then they come along with the vampire series. You know, this infatuation with death. I mean, this is a sign, folks, of where we are. And I remember the youth group taking my kids to the youth explosion that my secret church had every year, and one of the classes on the agenda was Twilight, the Twilight series, the vampire series, how we can apply it to Jesus and how it's a type and shadow of Jesus. I mean, I'm telling you what, this was all part of the time when I'm really starting to say okay, hold everything. And honestly, it was right along here. And I tell you what, the thing that really did it to me was when I saw Rick Warren on stage with Obama. You know, I knew, I hung my head in sorrow the day I woke up and realized that, you know, Obama had gotten into office. And, you know, I just knew that we were in for big trouble. But I'm thinking to myself, I knew what this guy stood for, and I'm thinking, what is he doing with America's pastor, you know, giving his invocation? And I knew that was a red flag, because I had no idea what was going on with the purpose-driven movement. All I remember were signs in front yards everywhere I turned, you know, for and all that period of time when that stuff was coming in. But you know, this is it. You know, this is it. Here we are, and you know what I'm talking about. And we're desensitized to this lifestyle that's been presented to us.
And we've diminished the gospel, where the notion of the severity of God is gone from the seeker-friendly church. And what we've done is we've compromised purity with growth, in that we believe that God wants bigger congregations as opposed to pure congregations. The church stopped purging sin, and this is what we have today. This is the parable of the leaven, the woman, the harlot, took and hid secretly, snuck in, unawares, leaven into three measures of meal until the whole lump was leavened. That's talking about the kingdom of God. That's talking about the church. Today the church is completely leavened. And this is why we're called out. We're called out of the harlot religious system. The same religious system that killed Christ is back on the scene. Before I move on, bullet point number 40 of the communist agenda was to discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Well, what do you think's happening here? What's happened? This is what the beast has accomplished. The beast, one world system, the diverse fourth beast, pale horse, been running the show since 1948. Look at the church today. Half of the families are broken, remarried. Scripture forbids remarriage. Sorry. Remarriage after divorce is trodding the Son of God underfoot, doing wickedly against the covenant. This is what it says. And just because everybody's doing it doesn't change a thing. I never got the memo. And here we are. You know, we're at the end. It's, consider how it's happened when we've had, now with those facts established, we've got the seeker-friendly movement taking control of evangelical Christianity. And in Amos it says, I will send a famine on the land, not for bread or water, but for hearing of the word of God. And this is what the seeker-friendly movement has done. It's caused a famine on the land. As we've got these churches full of people who are starving for the meat of Scripture, for the Word, and they don't know what to do. So what they've done is they've been drawn to these now signs and wonders churches. And we have to understand where we are today as this famine on the land for hearing of the Word of God has just compounded the strong delusion and compounded the great falling away. Because now we have these churches popping up that are following after the signs and wonders apostate leaders. The Todd Bentleys. Todd Bentley's mentor, Rick Joyner. We mentioned him earlier. Knights of Malta. I mean, what the heck is this guy doing as a Knights of Malta? You know, he coined the term Joel's Army. Joel's Army are the bad guys. And then there's just a cast of thousands that come out of this this Bethel Redding movement. You know, there's one of these churches that just popped up in my town. I know these people. I love them. They're massively deceived by these false prophets, you know, preaching feelings and experiences. They've got these charismatic circus acts going on up on the stage. And these intelligent people are falling for this stuff. Because there are manifestations of something going on. You know, but these people aren't reading their Bibles. They're not heeding the warnings the Lord gave us. That many false prophets shall arise and deceive many, showing signs and wonders, deceiving the very elect if possible. This is what the Lord was talking about. You know, when I woke up, you know, I spent some time in these churches, you know, I'm just seeking the Lord. What's going on, Lord? Show me what's going on here. And the flatteries, you know, any talk of sound doctrine or apostasy is just forbidden, you know. And you know, in Psalms it says in 55:21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were drawn swords. You know, this verse, all I can think about is this Bill Johnson guy, the guy that's the leader of Bethel Redding. This is his movement now that's probably one of the most dangerous on the scene. I'm saying this because so many of my people are caught in it, my friends. But, you know, the sword is the one of the weapons of the armor, right? It's the word, you know? It's the sword that we're armed with, you know, to come against these lies. These guys are two-edged swords. They're lies. Smooth as butter. I want to encourage everyone to go back and look at the Gog Magog study on sounddoctrine.org. The Gog Magog shows we did. We don't understand that this is the Gog Magog war is the false doctrine. The armies out of the north is the army that comes against God's army. We got to realize that Gog Magog wore armor, just like the Ephesians 6 armor. The only problem is there was no truth and no breastplate of righteousness. But this is what it is. The Ephesians 6 armor is for us to fight the Gog Magog war, which is a spiritual war. It's not a physical war. The natural man understands not the things of God. And this is how these false doctrines have taken hold today, completely corrupted the minds of the Christians, deceived beyond imagination. And that today we've got two dominant trains of thought in the end time prophecy of Scripture. A time when Bible prophecy is so important. But at a time, it is so diluted, so confused. It just boggles my mind. Okay? But on one camp we have the rapture cult, all tied to Jewish dispensationalism, in that this all comes out of the Schofield movement, where the Jew and the Gentile are now separate again. Two house, it's the two house twist, where God's house has been separated back into two houses, which it was brought together at the cross, one shepherd, one flock. Satan's managed to divide the house again over the very notion of our identity as Israel. And we've got the rapture, a doctrine that came from a woman named Margaret MacDonald, a young girl who passed a dream that she had along to John Darby, who was in lockstep with Schofield. All comes out of the same move of Satan, the same deception. And today we've got this doctrine of the rapture that is still the dominant thought in evangelical Christianity, the notion that they're going to be raptured away before the tribulation. It's absurd, because the purpose of the tribulation is to prepare the church as a spotless bride. I always used to wonder about that. I knew the Lord was returning soon. I knew He was returning for a spotless bride. And I looked at the church. Half the guys are hooked on pornography. Half the families are divorced, remarried. Women are leading the men around by the nose, the spirit of Jezebel. It's like, what's going on? How can this be? Well, I realized. And believe me, the Lord is going to get His spotless bride. Believe me. And on the other side of the spectrum, in the end time scenario, we've got the seven mountains theology that's really come out of the same time period, the 70s, when Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusades for Christ, had a dream. They had a simultaneous dream that Christians were to take back the seven mountains of influence on society, church, media, government, education. Hey, all great ideas, wonderful ideas. Great ideas, just like Cain's idea was. Cain's idea of giving the Lord the fruit of his fields was just a wonderful idea. But there's one problem. It's not God's idea. So, on one end of the spectrum, we've got the rapture cult telling their people that they're going to be raptured away before the tribulation comes. And on the other end of the spectrum, we've got the seven mountain dominion theology,
which is basically the dominant thought in the signs and wonders crowd. And we can trace the Dominionist thought, you know, back to our founding fathers, but these doctrines really took hold after this, what I just described with Lauren Cunningham and Bill Bright, their dream. And basically what they're doing is promoting the idea that God's going to heal Babylon. Okay, because who sits on seven mountains? Mystery Babylon the harlot. And see, these men have a better idea. They're going to fix Babylon, okay? But God's written word tells us that Babylon is not healed, that her sins reach heaven, and she's destroyed. Who gives these men the authority to, you know, change the written word? Well, this is what's happened. This is what happens. Men are not satisfied with staying in the seven Sabbath rest. They go on into the eighth. They go on into perdition. The eighth is of the seven, symbolic of the perdition, men going into perdition, the falling away. And is there any question? So we have the two dominant trains of thought in Christianity today. The rapture on one end of the spectrum, the seven mountains, we're going to fix Babylon on the other end of the spectrum. They both originated in dreams. Okay? And Jeremiah 23:25 says, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. I'll tell you what, there's a reference to God using dreams, but not much. And today we cannot give any credence to dreams. Not with what's happened. When you take what's being taught, resulting from dreams, and align them with Scripture, you're going to see the common thread of apostasy in all these movements is the notion that we must support the nation state of Israel and the flesh race of Jewish people. This is the dominant false doctrine. All the apostate movements have the same doctrine in common. And what we're doing here is we are forfeiting our heritage as Israel. The church has given up its birthright just like Esau did. O destroyer of thine heritage. Today we have to understand who we are as Israel, God's chosen people, God's covenant people. Walk in covenant with him. Obedience. Because today it's the perfect storm. Satan knew every doctrine to attack. And it's like cooking a big meal, you know, having everything done at the same time is the trick. And this is where we are. It's all coming together. It's the perfect storm. It's the strong delusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to close with this tonight. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Now, who's the temple of God? Well, 1 Corinthians. You know not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. See? But no. People aren't happy with this. They got a better way. And while they're believing the fables, they don't realize that they're the temple. 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. See, these are all sound doctrines that have been corrupted. We are the lively stones. We are built into the walls of New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is the third temple. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders
and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they believe a lie, that they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That, my friends, is salvation. It's belief of the truth. It's the love for the truth. It's a passion for the truth that controls your life. You wake up in the morning committed to not being deceived, because this is the level of commitment it takes today. Because the deception is so great that it could deceive the very elect, if possible. But it is not possible for God's elect to be deceived, because his sheep hear his voice. But we have to understand the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if we continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. See, this is what takes place, and this is the God that is not taught in the churches. The goodness and severity of God. Yes, a wonderful, loving God for those who are obedient to him, that abide in him and that abide in the covenant. But for those that love not the truth, are cut off. They're cut off. They're cut out of the vine. They're cut out of the covenant. Not a place to be. This is not a place to be. To face what's ahead. Because folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. We've had the last 60 years take us from Hugh Hefner to Madonna performing an outright, not symbolic, but an outright satanic ritual on worldwide TV at the Super Bowl. How many homes and, unfortunately, churches with Super Bowl parties entertained a full-blown satanic ritual in their sanctuaries during the Super Bowl game? Are you kidding me? Do you have any idea the danger that we are in? Anyone who is not walking tightly in Jesus' yoke today is in tremendous peril. You've got to lose your life for Jesus' sake, then you will find it. Be sure of your election, folks. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Folks, this is all about idols. It's all about idols. It's about false gods, false things we put our hope and trust in. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 51, their falsehoods are idols. The lies we believe are idols. Worshipping the image of the beast. The image of the beast is the god that you create in your own image. The user-friendly God. The seeker-friendly God. The God that doesn't have severity. The God that doesn't send strong delusion. The God that doesn't catch us in a snare. But that's not God. That's not Jesus. That's Antichrist. That is the Antichrist. That's the man of sin, the son of perdition. It's another Jesus. It is not the Jesus that was promised in the garden that the covenant carried to today. Today, as always, God's chosen people are in covenant with him. They have lost their life for the covenant, for the good of the covenant, and they're in him. But today, unfortunately, the doctrine of salvation has been corrupted in the churches, where the churches are full of people who are not regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And this is why we're following these flesh doctrines with fleshly interpretations of Scripture. But the problem is, the natural man understands not the things of God. You have to be born again to understand the things of God. And the only way you can be born again is to die to yourself, is to enter into covenant with God, and that requires death. Those that love their lives not unto death. And I really don't want to be a doom and gloom guy. But, folks, we know what came out of the individual horses, the individual beasts.
the devastation caused by the British Empire, the Soviet Bolshevik Revolution, the Nazi Reign of Terror. We just can't even comprehend what's ahead as those three forces are now combined. You know, we're clearly approaching the time of the martyrs. You know, there's no sense beating around the bush. It's there in Scripture. We see a metaphoric killing. The word kill means to be destroyed, figuratively. But it also means literally, to be killed. And as we see it being more and more offensive to stand up for truth. Do the math. You know, we talk how Satan knew the doctrines to attack. Well, we saw at the same time the Schofield came on the scene, we also had Joseph Smith and the Mormons. And what are they? They claim to be the tribe of Ephraim. And the physical tribe, the lost tribes that migrated to America. You know, all utter flesh nonsense. How? How come? Because Satan knew. Satan knew the significant doctrines to attack, to confuse. Because Ephraim and Manasseh are the Christians' gateway into the tribes. We're going to learn this. That the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That the Gentiles are now allowed into the house of God. The Gentiles are now allowed to enter into Israel. We've got the Jehovah's Witnesses attacking the 144,000 doctrine. You know, where the dominant thought in Christianity is that 144,000 is a raving lunatic knocking on your front door. Well, 144,000 is the walls of New Jerusalem. That's really important to know that. And that we are lively stones. And we are Jews because we're Jews inwardly. We're virgins because we've come out of the harlot system. We are the 144,000, folks. And we'll see the progression of all these things happen. For examples, for our admonition upon whom the end of the world has come, as the book of Revelation is the spiritual journey of the Christian to come out of Egypt, Sodom, Babylon, all types and shadows of our experience as a Christian, avoiding deception, having victory over the beast. The beast is judgment, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, the diverse fourth beast. Every time that those four are together, we have the fifth, the little horn, stout, who rises up. I saw a video last week where Benjamin Netanyahu is getting a standing ovation from the United States Congress. Are you kidding me? It's because Israel controls the beast. The little horn is Israel, the nation state of Israel. Real time, February 2012. Strong delusion. And at the same time, we've got maniacal characters like John Hagee basically causing them that dwell on the earth to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. The deadly wound was inflicted in 70 AD and it was healed in 1948. As I said at the beginning of the show, I don't expect you to agree with me. I just ask you to remember what I said. Bookmark this show. Save the CD if you're listening to it on a CD. Folks, get ready, because you ain't seen nothing yet. I want to thank you for following along. Anybody that's made it this far, I have to hand it to you, because I know these are harsh words. These are hard sayings. Who can hear them? You know, these are the words that the multitudes turned and walked away from Jesus when he said them. But the scripture says that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
But it also says that those who endure to the end will be saved. It's my prayer tonight that you're one of those who endures to the end. And today is a time to get grounded in Scripture. Study it like your life depended on it, because it does. And we have our websites, watchmanweekly.com, sounddoctrine.org. There's a place to interact, to comment, ask questions, to email me. If there's anything I can do, please don't let pride get in the way of asking a question. With that, I'm going to say goodnight from watchmanweekly.com. This is your host, Chris Ardern.